Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Zoom.
No, thank you so much, Diana. And thank you, TK, for inviting me. And it's great to be here. My name is Roby Safira, and I am an alcoholic.
And I Roby.
I've done the steps as they're laid out in the Big Book with the Big Book Step Study sponsor. And as a result, I began a relationship with God, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm qualified to speak at meetings like this, and I'm just so grateful to be here. I feel really emotional today. I prayed about this earlier. I usually don't know the stuff I'm going to speak on, and I write when you guys read. And this is the third I've spoken. I spoke in May, I spoke in June, I'm speaking today, and I've spoken on this step. This is the third time. In fact, that's why TK invited me. So thank you, TK. And for some reason today, I feel emotional about it. So I'm very grateful. The first thing I want to say is that the first sentence is now about sex. So this is about sex. This isn't about relationships. This isn't about feelings. This isn't about thoughts. This is about sex. And I was on a meeting last night. I think like the cycles kind of hit each other because the meeting I was on last night was about sex. And I'm just going to move because I'm like looking, turning my head up. Okay, that's a little bit better. And it's always interesting to hear. I actually love hearing people talk about it. And a lot of times I hear people say, I get so nervous talking about it. I don't get nervous talking about sex. Yeah. I don't get nervous talking at all, actually, which is a real gift. But I worked the steps as laid out in the Big Book in 1992. I read my fifth step in 1993. And when I fell on my face in the Big Book Step Study meeting in September of 1992, I had the same desperation I had when I fell on my face in a AA meeting in September of 1985, and subsequently was struck sober in January of 1986. And that's the only thing that I think fueled me to do this work, and to do this work quickly, and to do this work thoroughly, and to continue to walk this path. And you know, when I got to, and so I say that, and I also just kind of want to backtrack and say, if you're not there yet, stay here and get there. If what I'm saying doesn't make sense, please grab somebody to speak to. There's plenty of people here who will talk to you. You could just reach out in the chat, because it might not make sense, because I'm talking from the level of experience of a person who's done it and who drinks the Kool-Aid. Right? I drink the Kool-Aid of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober for over 40 years. I drink the Kool-Aid of Big Book Step Study. This is, for me, the absolute only way to work the steps. And I've been around a long time. And in my first 7 years, I worked the steps every which way but loose, and I never even had relief. You know, I just got more ego. That's what happened to me, because I'm really smart and I can memorize things and I could talk well, and it all like sounds myself. Ego deflation. And there was no real understanding, you know, like it says at the end, I'm going to start at the end instead of the beginning. There was no understanding of the terrible destructiveness of the resentments. There was no understanding that doing this work would allow me to digest some big chunks of truth about myself and become a different person than the person I was when I walked in this room. You know, the beautiful thing about having the disease of alcoholism is that this disease carries the only treatment that makes you better than when you were before. Any other disease that you have, even though you can get healed, doesn't usually make you better. You might be a little weaker, but this solution, this work makes us better than we were before. When I got to this part, I was 28 years old when I came into Big Book Step Study. I was 21 years old when I was given the gift of sobriety. And I was separated from my first husband. I was miserable. I had no idea how I was going to live, and I wanted to die, which was pretty much the way I felt when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I began writing with a vengeance, and when I got to the sex part, I knew, first of all, when I got to the sex part, I knew the sex part was coming up because I went to a lot of meetings. So it wasn't like this big surprise that you were writing about sex. I went to a lot of meetings. I talked to a lot of people. When I got to the part, my first feeling was, thank God, I'm almost done. And I just really followed the directions. And I chose to not feel during my writing. I chose to just write the facts. And I'm so grateful I did it in that way. And to let everything come out in the fifth step and beyond. And that really worked for me. And I suggest that to the people that I sponsor. But it says many of us need an overhauling. And then it says, but we need to be sensible. And then it says it's easy to get off track, all in like the same breath, right? And the notes I wrote down was that we all have sex problems. It's part of the human nature. We all have sex problems. And that I'm not nobody. I'm not supposed to go to people to judge me. I'm not supposed to judge anyone else. And that the goal, right? What I'm working towards here is a sane and sound sex ideal. And I know what sanity is. Because the definition of sanity is found on page 37. Sanity, because insanity is lack of proportion of the ability to think straight. So, what is sanity? Proportion of the ability to think straight. And I can tell you that in my sex behavior, I did not think straight at all, not once, not ever. I was a sexy 4-year-old, and I really was. I was sexually abused at the age of 4 till the age of 12. That's not why I'm an alcoholic. The people who abused me were not in, for me, they were not on my sex list. They were on my resentment list. And what I found out that I did was that I took the anger and the resentment and the pain and the shame of all of those things that happened to me, and I put them on every single man, in my case, men, who had the misfortune to cross my path. Because my expectations on them were out of proportion to anything that any human being could ever do, ever. I expected them to fix me, to heal me, to take care of me, to make sure I was always okay. It went on ad nauseum, and I would do anything. What I found out, the very one of my awakenings when I was actually doing the writing and writing these questions over and over, where was I selfish? What did I want? Where was I dishonest? What was the lie? Where was I inconsistent? What should we have done instead? And what I found out over and over and over again was that I would do anything if you would just hold me. I would sell my soul. I would sleep with you 6 ways till Sunday, off the chandeliers. I would engage in risky behavior. I did things that carried a lot of shame. And I would do anything if at the end you would just hold me and I would pretend that this person whose normal, most often name I didn't know, loved me, cared about me, and wanted to take care of me forever. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I wanted that same level of whatever I wanted from men when I was out there drinking that I wanted from men in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I again continued to put myself in risky situations. And I was a kid. I was a kid. I was a young woman. I was 21 years old. The hormones are real, right? Like that's real. Like stuff happens. You are in certain phases of life. And I had no direction. I grew up very religious. I grew up in a very religious world where sex was taboo and it wasn't talked about. And it was just all really, really weird. And I'm an alcoholic and I'm also a bulimic. I'm on a program called the Gracie, and I'm also a drug addict. And my favorite tip at the restaurants that I was working at in New York City before I got sober was cocaine wrapped up in $100 bills. And for some reason, this came to me while you guys were reading, and I want to share it. And I remember talking. I don't know if it was in the summer of 94 or the summer of 95, but I remember where it was. It was the Charlestown Big Book meeting, Big Book Step Study meeting. I believe it was at 4 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. I remember being at that meeting talking from the floor about the sex part and talking about how I would sleep with guys to get cocaine. And this guy, like two guys after me, said, he turned around to me in the middle of the meeting. I've never had this experience before or since. Big Book Step Study meeting. And he said, I want to apologize to you. I want to make amends to you for all of those men who were there because I was the guy. I was one of those guys, maybe not with you, that was standing behind that bag of cocaine. And I know what I did to girls, to women like you. And I cannot even begin to tell you what that did for me. And why am I sharing it? I share everything. I share everything. That's going to help somebody. That was 1994. That was 32 years ago. I finished writing. I read my fifth step 30, whatever, 1994. So that was, 32 years ago. It's a long time ago. You know, I don't know. That just came to me when I was talking. What really hit me was selfish. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? We ask God to mold our ideas and help us live up to them. And then it gives us directions. We have to be willing to grow towards our ideal and willing to make amends. And to, you know, it talks about what happens if we fall short. So here's my raw truth. I was 28 years old, going on 29 years old when I finished writing in 1994, 1993. Sorry, it was 93. It was 33 years ago when I read my fifth step. And I was 29 years old. My husband, who I was separated with, and I was sleeping with someone else while I was writing my fifth step, my fourth step. I was sleeping with someone else while I was separated from my husband, moved back in with me. I stopped sleeping with the other guy, never told him that I was sleeping with someone else because there was no reason to make amends to him. I made amends to that guy. Actually, New Jersey, went on an immense tour, literally went on an immense tour. And my life seemingly came together. 2.5, almost 3 years of finishing my fifth step, making all my amends, I ended up getting divorced from my first husband, leaving Boston and going and working on cruise ships for 10 years. So if anyone was in Boston in the mid-90s and knows Roberta, who worked on cruise ships, that was me. And I went nuts. So I'm here to tell you that I did not finish my fifth step, make all the amends, and get perfect. And that my sex behavior specifically took years to change. It took years to change. I treated myself not well for many years. And I think the reason why I'm emotional about that lately is because it just made me sad. It made me sad for the girl and the woman who just didn't know, you know? And hindsight is 20/20. My friend John says, he quotes Kierkegaard, you know, life is lived forward and understood backwards. And somehow at 62 years old, I am understanding a lot of things that I didn't understand at 20 or 30 or 40 or even 50. And it's really kind of weird because I'm not getting older. The older I get, the younger I am. Just so you know, you want to get older, that's fine. I'm not. I'm going to hike glaciers in Alaska on July 31st. So, you know,
Yeah.
that's my reality. But it's just so, it's so poignant, this thing. The idea that I had to use my body in order to get acceptance, in order to get love, in order to be good enough, you know? And it was never enough, right? I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, I'm a food addict. There is never enough alcohol, drugs, food, money, sex. There's never enough. My favorite amount is always more. So that leaves me with what? That leaves me with what my life has to be. If my favorite amount when I was out there was more, and my favorite amount when I'm in here has to be more of God, more of spirituality, more of helping people, more of whatever it is that I can do to fill my mission statement, which is found on page 20 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depends upon what our constant, not once in a while, not sometimes, not once a day, our constant thought of others and how we may what help meet their needs. On page 14, going into page 15, faith without works is dead. How appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to what? Enlarge his spiritual life through what? Through work and self-sacrifice for others. And that's what it talks about. If we fall short, we throw ourselves the harder into working with others. It works, man. This works. This going to any lengths to help another human being be relieved of their affliction, this helps. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have the perfect story to be able to sponsor somebody just the way God needs them to be sponsored. I did the work. I continue to do the work. I continue to live in the latter steps, and I continue to learn, and I continue to grow. I've been married for 20 years, not to the same person. I haven't been married now for the last 16 years. I love not being married. I don't engage in risky behavior, and I don't disrespect myself or others today. It took a long time. I know what love is. Like, there's like agape love and ethos love. I know what like that pure love is because I feel it for others. Sometimes when I'm talking to somebody and I'm listening to them, the thought comes to my mind and I know that this is, I did that for myself. When you roll back way back to the resentment part and you go to causes and effects, we write what it affects. It affects security, affects self-esteem, personal sexual relations, ambition, pride, ego, money, fear. I have everyone write them all in that order because it affects everything. And if it doesn't make sense to you, call me. I will explain it. It will make sense. I promise. But what is this thing about self-esteem? It's about knowing my balance, right? It says in the step, the 12 and 12, that humility in step 5 is knowing who you are and then doing everything you can to be the best that you could be. So thinking I'm a POS is not humility. And thinking I'm better than everyone else is not humility. So a healthy level of self-esteem is really important. So if I'm engaging in risky sexual behavior, which is making me feel bad about myself sober, I am putting myself in a position to drink because my self-esteem, the effect it has on my self-esteem, is too unbearable to live with. It's too unbearable to live with. At 24 years sober, I had an affair with a married man. That affair lasted 2 years. That was the only time in my entire sobriety, and I've been sober over 40 years, I didn't sponsor anybody because I inherently knew maybe that's okay for somebody. I don't know. Wasn't okay for me. And I was going to go to my grave with it, just like I was going to go to the grave with the guy that I was sleeping with when I was writing my fourth step. I was going to go to my grave with it. And now it's probably on YouTube because I speak a lot, you know, and I don't care. Because it might help somebody. It might help save somebody's life. I know it's going to help save mine. I see I have a minute and 50 seconds left. How am I going to do this in a minute and 50 seconds, Mark? You know, I have had firsthand experience of the grace of God taking, touching my life and creating someone that is beyond anything I could have ever imagined. So I think that, because I could talk for another half hour, I think that the way I want to end this is, one, if you're writing, keep writing. If you're on the other side of it, throw yourself the harder into the work, because that's where the real work begins. The writing's the easy part. Hate to break it to you. The writing is the easy part. It's the living that's more challenging. Keep doing it. But the most important thing I want to say is that when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 21 years old. I was going home with people I didn't know at subways in New York. I was giving sexual favors to taxi drivers because why not? I was doing things that nice Jewish girls from Orthodox families in Brooklyn don't do. And I was doing them. I was doing them all. And I did a lot of those things sober. And if God could take that person and create the person who's here before you, who has a job, who has nieces who call her Aunt Roby the Fabulous, who has children who call her Dota Softa Roby, which means Aunt Grandma Roby, who has a mother who thinks that she's the best thing since sliced bread, whose sister is her best friend in the whole world, who has a job where she's respected, who has a home that she opens up to other people. If there is a God that can do that for me, I cannot imagine what that God, what your God can do for you. Thank you for your attention and for being here for me. And thank you. Have a good meeting.